to the AI and Data-Driven Leadership Podcast, the show where we spotlight the innovators and leaders who are transforming the future using the power of data and AI. I'm your host, Dean Gaeta, author, podcaster, and founder and CEO of Infogistics and Slingshot. We're living in an exciting era, a time where builders, leaders, and entrepreneurs are using data and AI to fuel unprecedented growth, create groundbreaking products, and drive meaningful transformations in their industry. If you're ready to learn from some of the brightest minds and uncover actionable insight to take your business to the next level, you're in the right place. And if you have a story to share, stick around until the end of the show. We'll tell you how you can become our next guest and inspire leaders around the globe. Welcome to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast. Let's dive in. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm really excited to talk to Caitlin. She's had quite a journey and doing some really interesting work with AI and the energy infrastructure, and really looking forward to this chat. But Caitlin, why don't you introduce yourself, give the audience some context on you and what you're doing.
Awesome. Thanks, Dean. It's great to meet you, and it's nice to be here. I'm Caitlin, co-founder and CEO of Buzz Solutions. Buzz Solutions is a visual AI platform in the utility space. We're helping utilities make sense of massive amounts of inspection data sets by using machine learning and computer vision to analyze those data sets and turn them into better data-driven decisions, helping utilities reduce the impacts from storms, reduce risk of wildfire, helping improve their grid resilience and overall their grid reliability.
Yeah, that's awesome. I was just at my son's, he had a wedding in Montana, in Whitefish, Montana, and there's so many wildfires. I don't want to diverge, but it's interesting. You spoke about growing up in near the beach in Southern California and then running a sustainable food nonprofit before co-founding Buzz Solutions. Like, what personal experiences and values drove you towards this whole energy infrastructure, sustainability, to finding Buzz?
Yeah, it's a really great question. So yes, I grew up in a beach town in Southern California. And unfortunately, when I was growing up, I had several friends who were evacuated due to wildfires that impacted their neighborhoods. And unfortunately, several friends who lost their homes during wildfires. And that was many years ago, but we still see that continues to exist as a significant issue today. I also grew up in a town where they were shutting down the nuclear power plant. And so that was one of my early interests in the energy space. That was more on the generation side, but just seeing the impacts of what that had to the community and seeing how nuclear did play a role in the town and in the economy there locally was super interesting. So that ultimately led me to taking more courses around the energy and sustainability space at Stanford. And that's ultimately where I met my co-founder, Vic, and where we launched Buzz. It was interesting because at that time we were exploring the energy landscape and we were exploring both renewables such as wind and we were exploring what was happening on the power delivery side, the transmission distribution lines that utilities manage. And we were starting to see that there was huge needs emerging for new technology and innovation to help utilities make sense of this mass amount of data. And so as we were exploring building a startup in the energy and sustainability space, it was just this really cool and unique aligning of the impact that we could help provide, not only to the utilities as our end customer, but also to all of the utilities customers as well by helping keep the lights on and reduce impacts of things like grid-sparked wildfires.
Yeah, that's really cool. Like in the early days, how did you go about figuring out the utilities needed this AI data-driven inspection tool? Like when did you have that aha moment? Because it's always an interesting journey to hear how people formulate companies and startups, and it's never a direct path. So maybe you can share.
Yeah, it was really interesting. So we ended up leveraging the Stanford Alumni Network to actually interview 35 of the largest utilities in the country, 35 investor-owned utilities, as they're called. And we started to ask them questions around how are they going about inspections? How are they doing data collection? At that time, when we launched in 2017, drones were becoming a really big on-the-scene part of the utilities' plans. at that time, they were testing drones or thinking about building a drone program, or they were using helicopters with high zoom, high resolution cameras to take imagery of their infrastructure in order to inspect their infrastructure. And they started to collect a lot more data. So they were going from almost every utility we spoke with was going from collecting hundreds and thousands of images per year to collecting hundreds of thousands and millions of images per year. But they had the same people analyzing those data sets. So if you can imagine, it was manageable when they were collecting hundreds of images and thousands of images. And oftentimes with a helicopter, they would have a person that was there with a pen and clipboard writing down different defects that they would see. But when you're going to think about this new world of drones doing all this data collection for you, and they're doing it autonomously, then you need someone to manually analyze or to analyze all of that data. However, when you're getting to hundreds of thousands and millions of images, those same crews that were analyzing the small data sets before can't keep up with that large volume. And it was causing lag times of months at a time, oftentimes, from the time an image was collected until the time that it was analyzed. And we can only imagine in the course of 3, 4, 5, 6 months, if you have a critical anomaly that's out there in the fields, or if you have vegetation that's starting to encroach on the line, that needs to be taken care of in a very quick way. And so not just the most critical issues, the medium severity issues and the lower severity issues need to be tracked and maintained or inspected more frequently. And so that was an aha moment, was what if you can use AI, which at that time was not on the scene for utilities at all back in the 2017 days. We said, what if you can start to think about using some form of automation or image analysis with technology like machine learning and computer vision to get better data-driven insights so that your highly skilled field workers and field technicians and crews who know a ton about the power space can use these insights to make better data-driven decisions. Instead of being reactive, they can start to become more proactive in their approach. And instead of manually analyzing data sets, they could be the ones just prioritizing and taking actions on those data sets.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing. So what's some of the core tech challenges you guys had in turning like all that data into actionable insight? I mean, how does the Buzz platform address that?
Yeah, it's interesting. There's definitely been several challenges over the years. At the time when we launched, first is a lot of utilities were on premise. So even getting access to data sets was definitely more of a challenge. We spent 2.5 years just working with a variety of utilities and with research organizations to be able to build the algorithms, tune them, and train the algorithms as well on real world data. The problem is, you think about some of these critical anomalies, such as, let's say, a rusted C-hook, which can hold the components together, can hold the insulator strings together with the tower or pole. If you look at a rusted C-hook, that may not occur with high frequency in a utility's territory, but it is certainly a very significant anomaly when it does happen. It needs to be taken care of quite quickly. We've seen that can compromise the structure and ultimately cause the line to fall. And so being able to train an algorithm that would detect with high accuracy a rusted C-hook, it can be hard to do off one particular data set. So we had to work with many utilities over a long period of time to get access to some of this proprietary data. Also, it's data of our critical infrastructure, so it has to be handled with great care and it's highly proprietary information. So it took us a long time to work with those data sets. So that's the first thing. The second thing is data is not collected in a standardized way with utilities. As I mentioned earlier, we see a lot of utilities are using helicopters with high zoom, high resolution cameras. They're using a variety of different types of drone technologies. They're using fixed wing. They're using aircrafts. They're using ground-based data that they're collecting from the ground looking up. And so when you want to train an algorithm that's going to still perform with high accuracy, but also work with all the utilities' varied data sets, that's a lot more challenging to do. And so that also took us quite a long time to be able to build algorithms that would work with non-standardized data sets. And oftentimes, maybe just to give a concrete example, we could be looking at, let's say, a transmission tower, which is a high voltage tower that's carrying power for long distances. It's those big metal structures that you'll see out in more remote areas. Those high voltage transmission structures, sometimes we'll work with the utility who will give us one image of that structure, and other times we'll work with a utility who will give us 100 images of that structure. So being able to detect all these different components and be able to not only detect what the component is, but the health of that component can be a lot more difficult when the data sets are not as standardized. So I'd say those are two of the bigger technical challenges. And we worked through those in the earlier days, and we continue to work through those by partnering with a variety of utilities to understand how they're going about data collection and how we can tune and train our algorithms with a high level of accuracy, leveraging their subject matter expertise.
Yeah, amazing. That's great that you have access to all these different diverse data sets. You got to have a really good algorithm outcome out of all that. How about the utility sector is like very historically very risk averse and with legacy processes, long sales cycles. How did you guys approach the building credibility and trust with the utilities that might have been skeptical of AI, data-driven change, and what worked, what didn't work?
I love that question. That's a really great question because it's certainly one of those things. The utility industry is rightfully very risk averse. We're dealing with our critical infrastructure, and it's important that utilities are working with trusted partners. And so we often like to say that we're built by utilities for utilities, because as I said, in the early days, and even still to this day, utilities are at the forefront of all of our R&D, our product development, the new solutions we're rolling out, the features that we're building, the way we construct our workflows. It is heavily influenced by utilities. We also have many people on our team who formerly worked at the utility and experienced a lot of these challenges firsthand. And so it's very important for us to say, we understand the pain points that the utilities are facing, and we want to be a partner to work alongside them. The other thing is, we are not a point solution. If you were to look at our software, it's not something that you can install, deploy, and then just walk away. Like, we are here to work with the utility because it's more of a programmatic approach. We're deploying across multiple different use cases and a number of different types of detections. And the AI is constantly learning and evolving and tuning and retraining. And so it requires us to be a partner with the utility to understand their pain points and continue to help evolve our solution to meet some of those challenges. And then the third thing I'll say is, my favorite line that I've heard more than once from utilities is, they love to be the first second, never wanting to be the first, although we have many amazing utility partners who have wanted to continue to push the bounds of innovation and have really embraced new technology, which I'm really excited about. I'd say even since the time that we started in this space, we've seen so many more utilities leaning into embracing technology. I think there's a couple of reasons for that. I think one, we're seeing AI more integrated into our daily lives, and we're engaging with it on our smartphone, we're engaging with it on our computer. It's become a more integrated part of how we as people operate on a daily basis. So bringing it into the workflow can be really a valuable asset, and I think people are starting to see that. But I think the second piece is, we've really strive and continue to strive here at Buzz to be as transparent as possible. Like, we believe that transparency is incredibly important around, what can AI do? What are its current weaknesses? How do we work with the AI to continue to refine and improve and meet your ultimate goals? And recognize that the AI is not here to take someone's job. It's here to be a force multiplier and an enhancement, and it's here to help you do your job more effectively, safer, and again, to be more data-driven. And so I think the combination of some of those factors has helped us, and it helped us in the early days be able to win the trust of some of those early utility partners. And it's what continues to help us work with many of the new utility partners that we're working with going forward.
Yeah, such an important point, because there's been so much hype in the industry around replacing jobs, and all of us have been working with AI a long time. No, it's part of the team. It's a collaborator. It's going to enhance. And so there's just, unfortunately, we're all dealing with a lot of fear out there. And so, thank you for saying that. People need to keep hearing that. And
I heard someone last week, I was actually at a conference last week, and I heard someone say, AI is just another member of your team. Right. It's just another member to work alongside you and to help you achieve the common goal that we're all out here to try to solve. And so I think it's really important that we're honest and continue to be honest and open and transparent about where AI is. How do we see it fitting into the workflow? Where do we see it going? Because I think that open conversation helps us sift through some of that, I think, fear, which is being driven by the unknown, and helps us at least come to a common understanding on how we're going to leverage tools like AI to just continue to enable us to be better, more effective, and ultimately smarter in the future.
Yeah, and if we fast forward 2 or 3 years, people will realize that, but how much anxiety that people could avoid for the next 2 or 3 years, just by, like you said, having those open conversations. So let me ask you something about being like a female leader, leading an AI startup, and it's male dominated. And the infrastructure heavy industry that you're in too, same thing. And so how has your background, like in finance, nonprofit, sustainability, shaped your leadership style? And what have you learned about building and leading a team in that context that you could share with others?
It's interesting. One, I'd say it's been really exciting to see the number of more women who are coming into this space, into the utility space. That same conference that I was at last week, it was awesome to see that almost every table of 6 or 8 people, there was at least 1 or 2 women at each table, which was
nice.
Really exciting. It's actually the first time I've looked around a room at a utility conference and be like, wow, there's a huge amount of utility representation here, of women utilities here. And so that was really exciting to see. I think we're seeing a lot more women embrace this industry, which has been really cool. Even in the 8 years that we've been around at Buzz, I've certainly seen that start to change. From a leadership standpoint, I think it's really important to continually be learning and adapting. And that, what I said earlier about that openness and transparency, that's really important in how I want to be a leader here at Buzz and how I want to continue to work with my team as we're growing here. We are all adapting very quickly to a variety of different situations, going through the COVID pandemic that we saw, going through utility supply chain issues, going through these various transitions has taught us we have to be continually nimble and continue to adapt and evolve to situations. And I think a lot of what helps us get through some of that is the openness and transparency. And so that's something that I really want to foster in the culture here at Buzz, is that we can have that openness, transparency, and collaboration. And I think that it's something I'm very proud of our team today that helps us continue to keep innovating. And by no means as a founder do I have all of the answers in any way, shape, or form. I am not going to pretend to. I'm not going to try to. But I want to bring along people that have much more depth of industry experience than I do, have much more even leadership experience than I do, so that I can continue to learn and evolve, because that helps me grow. And that also helps everyone in the company grow as well.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, you're a very open and pragmatic leader, I could tell already just from our conversation. And so I'm curious, there's so much money going into building out these huge data centers for AI, and everyone's talking about energy. What does the energy sector think about all that? Like, what's the conversation happening out there?
Yeah, data centers, of course, is huge, but it's not the only conversation of how much demand is coming onto our grid right now. We see onboarding of electric vehicles. We see onboarding of renewables. We see just mass amounts of electrification that are happening. And then you also have data centers. All of those huge demand increases are posing a huge stress and strain on our physical grid. Say a conversation that we're actively involved in very frequently is around asset management. Asset management historically was, okay, how many new insulators do I need, poles do I need to replace on a time-based series, where we expected that every certain number of years a component would fail, we'd go out and replace it, and it was, as the industry calls it, more of a run time to failure, meaning they would run a piece of equipment until it failed, and then they would replace it. With all of these pressures that the grid is currently facing today, we can't operate in that model anymore. And so we have to be more proactive as opposed to reactive, which means we have to understand which areas of our grid are facing the most stress, are facing the most strain. How can we proactively upgrade that infrastructure, that equipment, so that we can get more out of that tower or pole? It also can increase the capacity of what we can then onboard to the grid itself. On the other hand, we're also seeing things like storms and wildfires are impacting different parts of utilities' territory more adversely. And that takes a huge hit to the physical components themselves. So how can we preventatively or proactively install protective equipment prior to storms or preventative equipment for wildfires? That can help our grid be a lot more robust and resilient so that it can handle some of these stresses and strain that are also coming from a weather-related standpoint. The other problem is there's this whole element of affordability of power. So how can we also do all of that in a way that still maintains affordability for managing our electric bills itself? How can we upgrade the grid? How can we improve the grid that we have so that we can meet all these goals that we have, all these electrification goals, manage the risk on the grid itself, and then also keep it affordable? So it's a really big conversation that's happening across the board right now for utilities. And maybe the last piece I'll add is A lot of people say, why don't we just build more infrastructure? Why don't we just build more infrastructure to manage all of this load growth that's happening? That takes a significant amount of investment and time, and there's a lot of regulatory approvals. So we've also realized that the fastest way that we can help improve our grid infrastructure itself is by upgrading the equipment in order to understand where we need to prioritize the upgrades. We have to know our grid through and through. We have to know the health of the equipment. We have to know what assets we have deployed and where they're deployed. And then understanding the health of those can help us understand where to prioritize those resources.
Replacing things early, the additional capital outlay, the efficiency outweighs the cost of staying ahead of it all. That's what you're saying. Let's keep what we have now working at the highest optimum performance. That's what the strategy is now? Or
you have to proactively understand where you can replace the equipment to receive the most benefit. So it's really about understanding, having true knowledge of your grid, of what you have deployed on your grid, where you have it, and where you have the health, or and what is the health status of all the components you have deployed on your grid, so that you can understand, okay, where is the optimal place to send my resources? Meaning, yeah, where can I get the most bang for my buck? While also being more proactive in my approach, meaning not waiting until it fails, but how can I know before it fails? How can I know, let's say this insulator is going to fail, how can I know before it happens so that I can replace it ahead of time? And I can also replace it with a better piece of equipment that's maybe going to give me more longevity and help increase my capacity.
Yeah, that's great. And what about, where does nuclear play into all this? I personally think we need nuclear, but there's such a long lead time. So like you need short-term plan and then the long-term plan. Is everyone on board with nuclear, or is it like still a lot of convincing?
I think there's a mixed conversation on it, although I'd say we are seeing more and more people lean into nuclear. We see Southern Company, for example, bringing on a big nuclear facility just not too long ago. We see several utilities are leaning into nuclear, but it is an expensive investment, and that's a whole other area where there's a ton of ways that new technology can help improve the speed of getting nuclear online, can improve the cost of being able to deploy nuclear, and maybe also able to deploy more temporary solutions that can help in times where we may need more electricity generation as well.
You talked about this a little bit, but Buzz Solution, like your mission involves like using AI to help utilities prevent failures, outages, reduce wildfire risk and faulty infrastructure. Like, how do you balance like the ethical, environmental, business aspect of your mission? And what impact are you most proud of so far?
That's a big question. A lot of it. We're really excited that we can be bringing a solution that helps utilities save mass amount of time. It helps them save mass amount of risk, and it's also helping them be really cost effective. We're also really proud of the fact we can deploy directly into the workflow to help the people who have been on the front lines, boots on the ground for the last 20, 30 years as linemen and field technicians. We can help them be safer when they're going about doing their job. We can help them get more done with the very limited resources that they have, and we can also help them be more proactive. And utilities are facing so many things being thrown at them right now. And so if we can help them streamline all of these different mass amounts of data sets that they have coming at them so that they can just be more, I guess you would say, equipped to manage even just a piece of this, we're really excited about that. And then we're also really excited about just the impact, as we've talked about, with the wildfire piece of it and improving grid resilience, meaning keeping the lights on for more people. Every detection that we can provide along those lines is significantly valuable to those end utility customers and to their customers.
No doubt. Yeah, these wildfires really are incredible. So maybe talk to this too, but I'm interested in maybe exploring it more, like all this electrification that you talk about, renewables and the grid modernization, like how do you see AI evolving in the next 5 to 10 years for the utilities, and what new capabilities or use cases excite you about that?
Great question. So many. I think we are truly just scratching the surface of AI's possibility for being deployed at the utility. We see a lot of demand forecasting coming online, technology to help utilities understand where they're going to have the biggest load growth in their territory. And that helps them then understand, okay, where do I need to deploy more resources so I can get more people online, connected faster? I can help them upgrade. I can help electrify. I can help those people bring on renewables onto the grid. So technology to help streamline that, I'm super excited about. We also see a lot of early detections of potential issues that are going to cause an outage. What we work on, the world we work on, is outages caused by physical grid failures, but also any sort of signature abnormality that's happening from within the line. Being able to early detect those is super interesting. I think being able to shut power off in just really narrow critical areas prior to a wildfire sparking, where you may have high winds and you may have structures that are at risk.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Being able to pinpoint that to a much smaller area, so you're just shutting off the power exactly where it needs to happen, or you're shutting off the power early when a wildfire has started so it doesn't cause a cascading effect. All of those things are technologies coming into different parts of the utility space, and I'm really excited about all of those.
Yeah, and then things are moving so fast, as you said, like with these large-scale drone, helicopter, sensor-based inspections and the data volume and sensitivity. Like, what do you consider around like data privacy, cybersecurity, regulatory compliance? Like, how does Buzz need to navigate that and stay ahead of those challenges?
Yes, we have to navigate it very carefully. Because utilities are, of course, as I mentioned earlier, it's critical infrastructure. And utilities are dealing with highly proprietary data sets. And unfortunately, there are just many bad actors, both on the physical security side and on the cybersecurity side. And we continue to constantly stay on top of that. We've brought in special teams of advisors to help advise us on being on the forefront of cybersecurity. We ourselves have very strong, robust cybersecurity policies and protocols here at Buzz, but it is always on the forefront of our mind, because as important as it is for us, it is 10 times even more important for the utility. And we want to help support them in that so that they can continue to be as cyber secure as they can. And unfortunately, given it's our critical infrastructure, we're just seeing the attacks and the threats continue to increase on our grid. And so we just have to constantly be pushing the envelope of both innovation and new technology deployment to help us continue to be as cyber secure as an industry.
I hope like our NSA and FBI, whoever works closely with you guys, it's got to be like a collaboration. I hope they do that. I don't know if you can talk about that, but I hope they do that.
It's a very collaborative space. I think that's another great thing about the utility space right now is it's a very collaborative industry where we are all trying to advance the ball and move the ball forward, take learnings, be able to learn from them collectively, also be able to look at success stories and look how to implement those in a faster and more scalable way. And that's across the board, but of course, cyber is certainly one of those. And then being able to work closely with many of the regulatory agencies and the government to be able to continue to have the right resources is just so important.
Yeah, I'm wondering, like, for like founders and executives that are listening, that are looking to bring data AI innovation to like these established regulatory sectors, like the energy and utilities, like what key lessons do you learn in terms of go-to-market strategy or building trust with teams and technology and maybe even patience? I don't know. I guess you might need a lot of patience with which we don't have to deal with in the pure tech space.
Sure. I think it's a matter of a couple things. One, being able to start small and start with really focused success metrics is really important when you're looking to bring in a new technology. As I mentioned earlier, transparency is really important to us. So we'll start working with the utilities data set. And we'll say, okay, here are maybe the top three or five things that we want to look for in this specific data set. Give us a blind data set. We'll process it with our algorithms and we'll show you the results. We'll talk about the good, the bad, the ugly. We'll talk about how AI can learn and refine and improve on your data set with time. We've seen that's a good door.
Yeah,
it's a good way to start the conversation with the utility on, we're just going to process it and show you the raw results.
What's possible.
That's got to be mind-opening. Mm-hmm. And I think that opens a conversation of, okay, here's day one. Here's where we are today. And then let's talk about how much time and effort would be involved from your side and our side to be able to tune and train the models so they can meet your success criteria over time. Maybe it'll meet it on day one. Maybe there's more tuning that's involved, but at least we're opening the door to that conversation early. I think that's something that helps build that trust and credibility early on. The second thing is, I'd say, is your point on cybersecurity. It's thinking about the workflow. How does the utility operate today? A lot of these highly regulated and more traditional industries maybe have been operating the same way for decades. The process of flying the helicopter and someone with binoculars or a camera, that's how utilities have been doing these inspections for quite some time, or walking the lines with binoculars. Decades, that's how utilities have been going out and doing these inspections. So when someone comes to us, and is looking to change the way they're doing inspections with drones and maybe with AI, we have to recognize that a lot of the people that we're working with have been doing the same process for 20, 30, or even 40 years. And so we want to make sure that from a workflow standpoint, when we're coming in to support them, that our solution is going to be additive to their process, and it's going to simulate the workflow, but with the added benefits of using AI. And so we found that's also helpful. And then, of course, the third piece is making it cyber secure, making it work with the confines that the utility has, being able to be flexible with those legacy systems as well that may have been in place 20 or 30 years. That also helps us position ourselves in a way that can set up for a more scalable deployment with the utility.
So what if I could remove all your constraints, cost, regulatory, existing infrastructure? What's the bold vision for the utility sector?
Yeah, another big question. It's a good one. It's a really good question. I would say being able to get us all on board with what's possible. Because again, as I mentioned earlier, we are just scratching the surface of use cases. And so I would challenge us to start to think bigger about what we can do with some of these technologies. We see that data siloing is a really huge challenge right now in the utility space, meaning it's data is siloed between departments. It's siloed across the utility. And so how can we help break down some of those data siloing barriers to help us collectively make more data-driven decisions? What I mean by that is you may see two or three departments at the utility all collecting data sets of the exact same towers or poles. It may be for different use cases, but we may be able to use the same data set that was collected by one department for three or four different use cases. And so if three or four teams are aware that this data set exists, then we can all make better data-driven decisions from that same data set instead of having to reinvest to go out to collect many more data sets. That's one small example, but I would challenge us to think, okay, if we can also break down things like data siloing, we can make more informed and efficient decisions at the utility. Plus, we can also help us say, okay, maybe then we can start to collect more data sets. Maybe we could take some of those resources to collect more data sets, which helps us get to thinking about trend analysis and predictive insights, and then we can become predictive and prescriptive in our approach. So again, we're at the early innings of this, of the stages of deployment here, and I'm just really excited about the what's possible. Like, how can we think of what can we solve today, but then what is the art of the possible, and how can we work from that goal in order to be able to achieve that faster?
Love it. Love it. I'm glad you're one of the people thinking about this, because this is huge. I guess you already know that, but this is huge for everybody. We need to have some really good innovation here. Now, what question didn't I ask that you wish I would have asked?
Ooh, maybe where else this is possible? Like, where else can we deploy these types of image-based technologies to be able to bring real value? I would say I think the utility space is one area where there is certainly a tremendous amount of opportunity, and we are really focused on the utility space. But I would even think bigger. Think most of our critical infrastructure. There's an opportunity for us to bring similar types of technologies to other areas of infrastructure to help make more informed, data-driven decisions that can, again, help us move to a world that's less reactive and is more proactive and predictive in its approach. So I would say a utility space is one focused area in energy. But even across the energy space and across the infrastructure space, I think there's a lot more opportunity for these new technologies to be brought into the picture. And it's at least now they should certainly be a part of the conversation. But I think we should really be planning for how we can bring some of those technologies into other areas as well.
Yeah. If you could reuse all those algorithms or data sets that you've learned your AI on to other industries, that would be amazing. This is just a quick idea, but I don't mean to sidetrack it, but they're like third world countries, man, they could use a lot of help. Maybe there's not enough money in there, but just what they've built, their buildings they've built, they're not safe. And anyways, that's an interesting idea. How can you repurpose a lot of the work you guys already done for other industries that can benefit from it?
Sure. Yeah, we don't have to reinvent the wheel in some of these other areas. We're at least starting from a lot more of an advanced spot now. And how can we build on that to be able to bring faster value at a lower cost to some of those other sectors too?
Yeah, definitely. Caitlin, how can people get in touch with you if they want to learn more or chat with you?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm on LinkedIn, so would love to connect on LinkedIn and continue the conversation there. It's just my first name, Caitlin, last name, Albertoli. Would also love for people to check out Buzz Solutions at buzzsolutions.com. We have a lot of different videos on our website about ways that we're helping provide value. We have some case studies, and then we also have ways where you can get in touch with us, and we'd love to have a conversation with you if you're in the infrastructure space or if you're looking to join a company that's in the infrastructure space. We're actively growing and looking for other people who are passionate about solving these problems to come join our team too.
Yeah, amazing. Great conversation. I learned a lot. So yeah, thank you very much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really enjoyed the conversation and really appreciated all the questions.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks.
Hey, it's Dean Guida here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast, where we showcase the visionaries who are shaping the future with data and AI. If you're a successful leader, entrepreneur, or business professional and want to share your story on this program, we'd love to hear from you. Visit us at podcast.slingshotapp.io to apply. Got something value out of this interview? Share the love. Take a quick screenshot, post it to your favorite social platform, or text it to a friend. Don't forget to tag the show and use the hashtag AI Data Driven Leadership. I love seeing your posts and suggestions for future guests. And if you know someone who would make a great guest, let them know about the show. We're dropping new episodes regularly, so don't miss out. Hit subscribe wherever you listen, and if you enjoyed this episode, a quick thumbs up, rating, or review would mean the world to me and my team. Want to stay connected? Visit our website at podcast.slingshotapp.io or find me on LinkedIn at Dean Guida and Instagram at DeanGuida89. Thanks again for listening to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast. We'll see you next time.